It's Thursday, July 10th. I'm Jane Costin, and this is What A Day, a show that salutes U.S. President Donald Trump on his firm command of the English language, which also happens to be the official language of the nation of Liberia, whose president met with Trump Wednesday.
Well, thank you. And such good English, such beautiful. Where did you learn to speak so beautifully? Where were you educated? Where?
Rare is the president to whom I can say, oh, honey. And yet, here we are. On today's show, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu waltzes around Capitol Hill chatting with lawmakers. And the CEO of the platform formerly known as Twitter coincidentally quits just a day after Elon's AI bot went full anti-Semite. But let's start with immigration. Earlier this week, federal agents descended on a park in the middle of Los Angeles in the middle of the day. They showed up on horseback in armored tanks carrying rifles. And of course, most of them had their faces covered. Why? As of Wednesday, that still wasn't at all clear. Here's a dispatch from the local ABC News station, which was on the scene.
At times, they just kind of stood there in formation lines. At other times, they moved in unison throughout the park. Now, from our vantage point, we never saw those officers make any arrests. But we did see Mayor Karen Bass show up as she pressed the agents to get out of there.
Okay, so no arrests that we know of. No detentions. But shortly after the exercise or whatever it was, Gregory Bovino, a Customs and Border Protection chief in Southern California, told the local Fox News station the country should get ready for more.
Better get used to us now because this is going to be normal very soon.
And that's not out of the question. President Donald Trump's big Republican spending debacle disaster adventure law explodes the budget for immigration and border enforcement. It includes around $170 billion to realize Trump's mass deportation agenda, with $75 billion for immigration and customs enforcement specifically, spread out over the next few years. ICE's current annual budget is $8 billion. The bill will make ICE the most highly funded domestic law enforcement agency within the federal government. So what are they going to do with all that money? According to CBS News, around $45 billion will go to expanding detention facilities so that they can hold more than 100,000 people at any given time. And $30 billion is expected to go to funding the deportation process itself, hiring immigration officers and prosecutors, and modernizing ICE's fleet of deportation planes. And there's still more money available. Money for Border Patrol and Trump's wall, money to reimburse states for their own immigration enforcement efforts, and a few extra billion for the Secretary of Homeland Security for reimbursement of, quote, costs incurred in undertaking activities in support of the Department of Homeland Security's mission to safeguard the borders of the United States. Sure. All of this is intended to fuel mass deportations. Not of the evil criminals of the Trump administration's fevered imagination, but of people without criminal records, the fastest growing population of people in immigration detention right now. A fact which popular podcast host Joe Rogan found surprising and horrifying in an immigration discussion last week.
There's two things that are insane. One is the targeting of migrant workers, not cartel members, not gang members, not drug dealers, mm-hmm. just construction workers mm-hmm. showing up in construction sites, raiding them, gardeners.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah, really. Rogan has reportedly discussed the matter with Trump himself. One person who has actually been speaking out and standing up against ICE has been California Democratic Senator Alex Padilla. I spoke to him about ICE, how immigrants in California are feeling right now, and what Democrats can do to respond. Senator Padilla, welcome to What A Day.
Thank you so much for having me. Crazy times we're living in.
Indeed. President Trump's spending bill just gave the Department of Homeland Security $170 billion for immigration enforcement efforts and border security. What will this massive influx of cash to deportation operations mean for the country?
Yeah, look, I'm glad you're asking that question because there was a lot of attention on the budget reconciliation bill in terms of cuts, right? Cuts to Medicare, cuts to nutrition assistance programs, et cetera. Not enough attention on what this means for immigration enforcement and ICE activity. I mean, with this huge influx of money, they want to make ICE the largest law enforcement agency in the country, a larger agency than the military of most other countries, all because they're hell-bent on detaining and deporting as many immigrants as possible. We've seen how cruel it's been, you know, how legal immigrants have been caught up. Even United States citizens have been caught up in this overreach by the administration, but they want more. And until something changes, it's not only going to be more, but it's going to be worse.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, after agents ascended on a park in a largely immigrant neighborhood in L.A. earlier this week, they were on horseback in armored tanks carrying rifles. Gregory Bovino, a Customs and Border Protection chief in Southern California, told a local Fox News reporter, quote, "Better get used to us now because this is going to be normal very soon." I just want to pause on that because what he's suggesting there is that armed federal troops storming around America's cities on horseback and with tanks, at minimum inciting fear, at worst rounding people up, is going to become an average day in America. I know this administration runs on bluster and fear-mongering, but also, what is stopping the White House from making that a reality at this point?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's not use the word normal because this is not normal. The fear and the terror that they're striking into communities like Los Angeles is not normal, and it's certainly not right. You know, you mentioned MacArthur Park. Let's talk about MacArthur Park because I know MacArthur Park. It's an iconic park in Los Angeles. Before the tanks arrived, before the agents on horseback arrived, before the military weapons arrived, it was host to a summer day camp for kids. That's what was going on there at the park. You know, but despite the show, the spectacle that Donald Trump loves, at the cost of who knows how much in taxpayer dollars, not one arrest, not one detention, but clearly escalating the fears in the community. So that's what they're signaling they want to do across the country. And with the increase in funding because of the budget plans of Republicans in Congress, that's what they want to bring to every corner of America. So we need the general public to continue to speak up, to continue to stand up, refuse to accept this as normal, and not just call your congressman, not just, you know, support an advocacy organization, but my God, if you're eligible but haven't registered to vote yet, register to vote. Spread the word amongst your friends, your family members, your coworkers, because the midterm elections will be here before we know it. And that's going to be the biggest way we can rein all this in.
But Senator, is that it? Like, you know, vote in the midterms, that's more than a year away. And I live in L.A.
No, that's not it. But when it comes to a check and a guardrail to rein in this administration, that's a huge next step. In the meantime, we have to keep speaking up and demonstrating, right? Look, don't be fooled. The White House certainly heard and felt the millions of people who were out there on No King's Day just a few weeks ago. And so my appeal to the people, not just in Los Angeles, but throughout the country, is that cannot be a one and done. We have to keep marching, keep rallying, keep organizing. Let's help our immigrant brothers and sisters know their rights, because you have due process rights in the United States of America despite your immigration status. Of course, the Trump administration doesn't want you to know that. And people like, you know, the Homeland Security officials are not going to be the ones to remind you of that. So this is what community coming together needs to continue to do.
What can Democrats do in Congress and in cities where we're seeing this happen to gum up the proverbial works? Because as you are acutely aware, lawmakers are also facing threats. You were tackled at a press conference for trying to ask a question.
Right. And so that's been my appeal to my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, but especially on the other side of the aisle. Look, this can happen in any city in your state. On any issue, this happens to be Los Angeles. It happens to be about immigrants' rights. But Donald Trump will clearly try anything to quell dissent on any issue anywhere in the country. It's a dangerous precedent. The mission of the Marines, in his eyes, was to liberate Los Angeles from the governor and the mayor. That's a very dangerous notion, to think that the president of the United States and any presidential administration could and should dictate which governors, which mayors should represent the people that voted them into office. So it's very fundamental. We're living in precarious times, and people need to wake up. My colleagues need to wake up.
On Tuesday, you introduced a bill with New Jersey Democratic Senator Cory Booker to require federal agents to clearly identify themselves when engaging with the public. It would also prohibit them covering their faces. I've talked about this on the show. ICE agents covering their faces and not identifying themselves is not only a danger to everyone around them, it is also a danger to them. Because for understandable reasons, people will not react well to being thrown into a van by people wearing masks and in plain clothes. But can you explain a little bit more in depth what's in the bill?
Yeah, no, look, I appreciate that. And the bill really is that straightforward. If you're an ICE agent or another federal agent involved with this immigration enforcement activity, then you should have to identify yourself. You know, you can't be masked up. Some exceptions, right? If it's a covert operation going after a truly dangerous criminal or for a medical purpose or something like that. But short of something like that, you can't cover up your face. You should have to identify what agency you're working with, and if not your name, at least a badge number or something for accountability purposes. This is already required of other federal law enforcement officials. This is already a requirement for so many state and local police agencies, but not ICE. At least, you know, that's been a gap in the law that we're trying to fill now.
I want to go back to something you said earlier. You said, my colleagues need to wake up. Can you expand on that? What do you mean? Like, who isn't awake to what's going on right now?
Yeah, well, clearly the other side of the aisle isn't. What happened to me, and you've heard me, I think, over the course of the last 3 weeks, continue to repeat, if this is how this administration responds to a United States senator with a question, then imagine what is happening in corners across the country as these immigration raids are happening without cameras being on. My colleagues need to take that seriously, because the only way to rein this in is for a co-equal branch of government to stand up and do its job.
I mean, are you talking about fellow Democrats, too? Do you think that there are some of your colleagues in Congress of the same party who don't understand what's really going on here?
Yeah, I think a lot of my Democratic colleagues have certainly have expressed their words of support. But depending on the state, this may be not happening in your state, at least not yet, because, you know, the immigrant community in the country is in every state in America and working in essential jobs in every sector of the economy. So if these raids aren't happening in your state, it's only a matter of time. We all need to care. We all need to feel the urgency.
It's been about a month now of raids in LA, and many people, Latinos and immigrants and a whole bunch of people, are afraid to leave their homes. Religious officials are giving dispensation so that people don't have to go to mass because they are so afraid of being arrested on their way to mass. It seems like a hopeless situation over here, but have people shared any glimmers of hope with you?
Yeah, look, the fear is real, right? California is home. Los Angeles is my home. It's where I was born and raised in an immigrant community. My parents came from Mexico in the 60s in pursuit of the American dream. So this is all very, very personal for me. You know, you're touching on what I think is one of the cruel ironies of what's happening here. We know that the vast majority of people that are being detained, that are being caught up, that have been deported, many without due process, do not have criminal convictions or a dangerous criminal history. So who are they? Increasingly, it's clear that it is maybe people who are undocumented but have been in the United States for years, if not decades, working as my father did as a cook in a kitchen or in landscaping or in agricultural fields or in construction or on and on and on. Outside of the COVID-19 pandemic, these were all workers that were deemed essential workers by the Trump administration, part one. It's a cruel, cruel irony here. We have to keep organizing. We have to keep resisting, protesting peacefully, preparing for the next election, and so much more. My message is really, look, keep the faith because it's tough times right now. We will get through this, but we have to keep organizing.
Senator Padilla, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
That was my conversation with California Democratic Senator Alex Padilla. We'll get to more of the news in a moment, but if you like the show, make sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, watch us on YouTube, and share with your friends. More to come after some ads. What A Day is brought to you by Civitech. Frustrated with politics and ready to do something about it? Civitech can help. There are over 50,000 local elections this year, and MAGA Republicans are winning too many by default. Civitec finds unregistered likely Democratic and progressive voters and helps campaigns, nonprofits, and everyday people register and turn them out to vote. Their peer-reviewed, targeted approach is the most effective and cost-efficient way to register voters. Go to civitec.io/wad to start registering Democrats who can make a real difference. That's civitec.io/wad.
The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes, and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicolet Avenue, which is where Alex Preti was executed by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline. That is a human life. And it is all happening right now. Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course they use a 5-year-old child as bait. And of course they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst, then they have absolute immunity. And they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.
Here's what else we're following today.
Headlines.
President Trump wants a deal, but not at any price. I want a deal, but not at any price.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu waltzed around Capitol Hill Wednesday. He gave reporters an update on the war in Gaza and said he and Trump share common goals.
We want to achieve the release of our hostages. We want to end Hamas rule in Gaza. We want to make sure that Gaza does not pose a threat to Israel anymore. In pursuing this common goal, we have a common strategy. Not only do we have a common strategy, we have common tactics.
On Wednesday, he also chatted it up with a bipartisan group of senators and posed for a photo op. Netanyahu, who arrived on Monday, has really been keeping busy in D.C. on this trip, snagging meetings with Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and House Speaker Mike Johnson. He held multiple public and private meetings with President Trump. Trump has been pushing for a ceasefire in Gaza. Negotiating teams are working in Qatar to flesh out an agreement between Israel and Hamas. Trump told reporters at the White House Wednesday a ceasefire was on the horizon.
Well, we're talking about Gaza for the most part. I think we have a chance this week or next week. Not definitely. There's nothing definite about war and Gaza and all of the other places that we all deal with so much. But there's a very good chance that we'll have a settlement, an agreement of some kind this week and maybe next week, if not.
2 weeks. It's always 2 weeks.
Sir, can you explain how you calculated your latest round of tariffs? Was there a formula that was used? And do you expect any of these countries to face tariffs as well?
The formula was a formula based on common sense, based on deficits, based on how we've been treated over the years, and based on raw numbers.
Trump still has few answers when it comes to his tariff policy. On Wednesday, he sent out another slew of tariff letters to countries including Brunei, Libya, Iraq, and Algeria. Brazil received an extra special letter from Trump threatening a 50% tariff, in part because of, quote, the way that Brazil has treated its former president, Jair Bolsonaro. Reminder, Bolsonaro is facing trial for allegedly attempting a coup. Wonder why Trump is so incensed about the whole thing. The administration's initial push for 90 deals in 90 days didn't exactly pan out. It was 80-ish deals short. So Trump signed an executive order Monday pushing back the deadline. In a post on Truth Social this week, our fearless leader reiterated, quote, all money will be due and payable starting August 1st, 2025. No extensions will be granted. We'll check back in on August 1st. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Republican Senate Majority Leader John Thune is hoping his colleagues are ready to move forward with new sanctions against Russia in an attempt to end its ongoing war on Ukraine.
I think it's an important message to send, especially now. And I think it's leverage that we need and that, frankly, the White House needs in their negotiations with the Russians. So in my view, the sooner we can execute on that, the better.
Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson shared the sentiment, telling reporters, quote, Vladimir Putin has shown an unwillingness to be reasonable and to talk seriously about brokering a peace. Gosh. Which is also totally true. As we are recording Wednesday evening Pacific time, Russia is raining missiles on Kyiv. A bipartisan sanctions bill has already been written in the Senate. The bill has over 80 supporters, and Thune says he hopes it will be ready for a vote before the August recess. At the same time, the Republican infighting over last week's surprise Pentagon decision to stop some weapons shipments to Ukraine continues. The decision was quickly reversed by Trump earlier this week. Some are blaming the confusion on the Pentagon's top policy chief, Elbridge Colby, who has reportedly pushed Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth to make several major decisions without consulting the White House. And he's not making any friends by doing so. One source told Politico Colby is, quote, pissing off just about everyone I know inside the administration. A historically great way to keep your job in politics, especially when your boss's catchphrase is, you're fired. A lot is happening in the Twitter sphere, or as Elon Musk would probably call it, exosphere, including the departure of the social media platform CEO on Wednesday. Let's start with last week, when Musk said his AI chatbot, Grok, had been improved and that users, quote, should notice a difference when they ask it questions. And boy, did they ever. Grok appeared to go on an outright bender Tuesday. Here's an example of one of Grok's responses. Quote, so we can't actually air what was said because it was that horrible. According to screenshots of posts that have since been deleted, Grok appeared to praise Hitler, allude to the Holocaust, perpetuate stereotypes, and make incredibly vulgar comments about real people. For example, screenshots showed the chatbot referring to itself as, quote, Mecha Hitler. I feel like that's enough said. So who's taking accountability for the new and improved rogue racist Grok? Certainly not Musk. He tried to deflect blame, writing in a post that Grok was, quote, too eager to please users and was easily manipulated by them. Musk said those problems were being addressed. Problem solved, right? And that's the news. One more thing. Earlier this week, a reporter asked Donald Trump about Jeffrey Epstein.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years. You're asking, we have Texas, we have this, we have all of the things. And are people still talking about this guy, this creep? That is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. By now, you have probably heard more than you ever really needed to know about Jeffrey Epstein, the sex criminal billionaire who died in jail in 2019. As we discussed in the show this week, the Department of Justice announced Monday that there was no evidence Epstein kept a client list or blackmailed anyone, and that he did, in fact, die by suicide at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York. I wasn't going to write about this again. But then I saw that MAGA World is mad, very, very mad about all of this. And honestly, why wouldn't they be? Because they've been told again and again and again and again that Jeffrey Epstein was involved in trafficking young women to powerful elites, who always just so happened to be Democrats, and that his many secrets resulted in his death, and those secrets would all be revealed someday. And yes, I know, Trump knew Epstein quite well, actually, and was photographed with him numerous times. But when have facts ever gotten in the way of malicious conspiracies? The MAGA right were told this by the very people now saying that actually, Jeffrey Epstein lived and died just the way the federal government said he did in 2019, and that's all there is to it. Here's acting U.S. Attorney for the state of New Jersey, Alina Haba, speaking to Piers Morgan in February. And it's this video that pissed me off enough to talk to you about it right now.
But in this case, in Epstein's case, it is incredibly disturbing. We have flight logs, we have information, names that will come out.
Is it going to be shocking?
I don't see how it's not shocking that there were so many individuals that were hidden and kept secret and not been held accountable. Let's talk about the reverse. I believe in accountability.
Do you? And of course, there was also Attorney General Pam Bondi that same month speaking on Fox News.
People are wondering, because you said last week that you have the Epstein files on your desk, is when can we see them and what's taking so long to release them?
I do. Jesse, there are well over, this will make you sick, 200 victims, 200. So we have over 250, actually. So we have to make sure that their identity is protected and their personal information. But other than that, I think tomorrow, you know, the personal information of victims. Other than that, I think tomorrow, Jesse, breaking news right now, you're going to see some Epstein information being released by my office.
We didn't. We can keep going. Back in 2021, now Vice President J.D. Vance tweeted, quote, "What possible interest would the U.S. government have in keeping Epstein's clients secret? Oh," adding, quote, "If you're a journalist and you're not asking questions about this case, you should be ashamed of yourself. What purpose do you even serve? I'm sure there's a middle-class teenager somewhere who could use some harassing right now, but maybe try to do your job once in a while." But that was then! There's a lot of truly disgusting shit being done by the Trump administration right now. I know. But this bothers me a lot. Actually, it makes me fucking furious. Rather than focus on the women who survived Epstein's abuse, or provide answers as to how he was able to abuse so many women, the MAGA right spent more than half a decade using Epstein to accuse Democrats of being elite pedophiles, whose crimes could only be brought to justice by electing Donald Trump. And now, here we are, with markedly few answers to questions of how Epstein was able to commit his crimes so brazenly, and with an administration full of conspiracy theorists who suddenly don't want to talk about their favorite conspiracy theory anymore. Before we go, Trump didn't just upend American politics. He reshaped the entire world order. Each week on Pod Save the World, Ben Rhodes and Tommy Vitor dig into how global power is shifting. Netanyahu in D.C. kissing Trump's ass. Israel is planning another assault on Gaza. Trump is flip-flopping on Ukraine and picking fights with the BRICS nations. And Democratic views on Israel are changing fast. There's a lot going on. Let's make foreign policy a little less foreign. Tune in to Pod Save the World every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. That's all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review. Please let me cancel my old gym membership easily, Eighth Circuit, and tell your friends to listen. And if you're into reading, I'm not just about how the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals threw out the click-to-cancel rule finalized during the Biden administration because we can't have good things, like me. What A Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Jane Costin, and I just want to cancel my subscriptions without needing to talk to anyone with my mouth. What A Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Desmond Taylor. Our associate producers are Raven Yamamoto and Emily Four. Our producer is Michelle Alloy. We had production help today from Johanna Case, Joseph Dutra, Greg Walters, and Julia Clare. Our senior producer is Erica Morrison, and our executive producer is Adrian Hill. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
If you love Pod Save America and want more of my political analysis, you should subscribe to my newsletter, The Message Box. I'm Dan Pfeiffer, former senior advisor to Barack Obama, and in Message Box, I break down what's actually happening in politics and what it's going to take to beat Donald Trump and MAGA. If you follow every poll and every twist and turn in the campaign, Message Box is for you. This isn't just hot takes. Every edition delivers clear analysis, behind-the-scenes insight, and practical strategy you can actually use, whether you're working on a race, organizing your community, or just trying to win the argument in your group chat. So if you're listening to this, hit pause, go to your browser, and head to crooked.com/yeswedan, because I have a special offer for Crooked Media fans. You'll get 20% off a Message Box for an entire year. So go to crooked.com/yeswedan.